Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check us out at buildingfortunesradio.com. Along with our marketing partners, we're here to help our PM Marketing Network Lead customers build their businesses and make the world a better place. At Building Fortunes, we know how much your business means to you and the people important to you. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. Now on to our show with your host, Peter Mingles.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. For all those people that might be unfamiliar with my voice, my name is Peter Mingles. We host this radio show. We started about 7 years ago, and I wanted to do this to have a platform because I wanted to be able to share microphones with people that were really doing the right things in home-based businesses. And I figured if I own it, I can control it. And one of the cool things about that is there's a lot of really great people in this industry that if you're listening in, you may not know about. So since I know them and I think they'd be a benefit to you, I want to make sure that you know them. And one of those individuals is the guest host of our radio show tonight, which is every Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. on the Pacific side. And his name is Ray Gebauer. Ray is a gentleman that I met a dozen or so years ago, probably more than a dozen or so, as a result of a conference call that was done, and I was an attendee there, and I don't remember all the details, but I do remember Ray Gebauer. And Ray's a really smart man, which is nice. It's interesting to listen to smart people. Then he's also someone who's super-duper creative. So that's good, too, because it's kind of intellectually stimulating. I love to work with people and listen to people that think inside and outside the box. And then I knew he was a good guy, so he had a right moral compass, and he was doing a lot of the right things, and he really cares about people, and he's an author and a book and a coach. And another thing is he's always working on Ray. Like, he's always working on himself, not only for himself, but to make him better, to help him help you more. And I love these radio shows because when I reconnected with Ray and we started doing these radio shows, he started his triple letter formula. So his triple letter formula was exactly what it sounds like. There were three letters and they represented something. And I love the mindset of Ray Gebauer, since you can kind of crawl in and listen to him. And he's got this great way of explaining things, but mostly it's the whole theme behind it as well. So besides the words, behind the messages, it's the whole theme. He's kind of into it, which I really find fascinating. And he's super creative. So he could take just about anything that I throw at him, and like Robin Williams from Stage as a comic, he could make it work. So that's fun too. But we do this, and it started off as a triple letters. And we did that throughout the whole year of 2019. And I'll share with you, you can listen to any one of those radio shows and grab the nuggets that might be able to help you in whatever situation you might be in, and certainly help other people around you. Well, this year, 2020, Ray started to do phrases, which kind of gave me a chance of getting some more things right and some more things wrong, because some of his phrases have more than three letters. So that's always a lot of fun, too. And he's kind of addictive in a positive way. When he sends me the messages that he's going to talk about tonight, he freezes me, meaning I stop and I start to think about all the things that he might possibly say on these radio shows. So it's kind of fun to be able to think creatively, kind of get out of your own world, get into Ray Gebauer's and see if we can catch him. But he's got some great messages for all those people. Having said that, the other great thing about Ray Gebauer is he applies what he teaches. So you can listen, but you can also work with him and apply this into your life, which might also mean work with him as far as a business is concerned. So I love having Ray Gebauer here. Ray Gebauer, thanks for being here on your own radio show.
Yeah, thanks, Peter. I'm always happy to be here. See if I can come up with something that isn't just interesting, but can have some impact and value and enrich your life. So today I'm going to speak on a topic that I think is timely because we're in the midst of what's been called the pandemic. And I think there's a rampant panic and anxiety and fear and stress. And you know, that's understandable. So I'm going to share a few stories about that and address that whole issue. And I'm going to play off the word fear and look at four different words based on those four letters, this four-letter F word, fear. But I've had a lot of experience with this myself, as I think everybody has in different ways. Growing up, I was in a really dysfunctional family. My father died before I was born, and then I grew up with a stepfather that was, not very understanding, pretty abusive and harsh, and so I got a lot of negativity and even physical abuse and emotional abuse, and so that damages you. Maybe not permanently, but I was really, really insecure. I was a super introvert. I didn't know how to connect with people. I remember my biggest phobia. I had a phobia of snakes. It's extreme phobia of snakes. I knew they were harmless, but I was like definitely afraid of them, and I was afraid of talking with people. If you don't talk in front of people, like in front of a room, I would tend to stutter. And so, I was sort of lost. But fortunately, some people intervened and helped me to overcome all of that. And so insecurity is another way of talking about fear. I mean, in a sense, all of us have some degree of insecurity. Some people a lot, and you probably know some people that are really insecure, and which makes it more difficult to have a relationship. But apart from that, fear itself is perhaps the most powerful psychological force in the world. But before I actually get into talking about fear and how you could flip fear and actually use it to harness the power of fear, not just overcome fear, but you can actually, in a real way, harness the value in fear and use it for your good to increase your own, happiness and peace and wisdom and strength. So there's that side of fear, not just the dark side of fear. But before we jump into that, just for fun and games here, like I usually do, I'm gonna do a pop quiz here with Peter. Yeah, so Peter, what would you guess my four words are going to be based on the F-E-A-R? What's your best?
I know the industry overused cliche for fear stands for false evidence appearing real. And that's overused and certainly cliched. And sometimes accurate, many times not. So I came up with one that may be something you might use, but I'm not sure. So I'm going to say, and it's going to be a phrase, so it doesn't really fit into your thing, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's face every adversity responsibly. So face every adversity responsibly. So I think you could probably work with those, although I know those are completely wrong. But it kind of works for me because I always had to come up with another acronym that countered that false evidence appearing real because it's an overused cliche that I don't always agree with. So face, like you have to confront, every, that really doesn't fit into anything here, but it fits into my phrase. Adversity does because adversity, like Napoleon Hill might say, in adversity there's a seed of equivalent benefit. And responsibly would mean responsibly, like let's take a look at your thing with snakes. Most of them are okay, and you're probably, they're more afraid of you than you are of them. And as long as you're not stepping on them or grabbing them, they're probably going to leave you alone. But there are some you probably should fear. So a false evidence or false fear would be deadly. So that's why I say responsibly. So I'll leave it at that. But I'll just leave it at that and let you continue.
Okay, thanks. Well, good try. So let me get into this, and I'm going to take this head on with fear. And first, we need to define it rather than just assuming we all know what it means. I mean, in one sense, we do, but I want to take it a little deeper. And I agree with what Peter said, that false evidence appearing real is not really that useful. And I actually totally disagree with that. I think it's misleading because fear has nothing to do with evidence or how something appears. Fear simply is an emotion. Now, what's universally true about all emotions, whether it's anger or fear or depression or joy or sympathy, empathy, none of them are bad. They just are. That's just the energy. Now, there's a time for it to be appropriate and inappropriate. The fear itself is never bad. Like anger is not bad. It can be in the wrong place and what it might lead to, but it's really misguided, I think, also from people that talk about becoming fearless. Yeah, in some situations, yeah, okay, you can become fearless in that situation, but nobody in the world can ever become fearless. Yeah, and if you could, that would be like a disability. Fear has its place. You have to have a certain amount of fear in your life, fear about the right things, otherwise you're sort of handicapped. It's a disadvantage not to have fear, you know, properly. But fear is simply the emotion that you feel when you anticipate. So it's the anticipation of pain or loss that can be painful emotionally. It's that anticipation that generates, that triggers the fear. Like if you come face to face with a lion, how are you going to feel? Well, it depends. If the lion's behind bars, you know, it seems pretty secure. You might just feel awe and wonder, wow, this is really cool, this cute cat. But if there's no bars there and he's charging towards you, what are you going to feel? Well, anticipation of pain, you're going to feel fear, as you should. If you're driving down the highway and somebody's not paying attention, they're texting or whatever, and all of a sudden they're coming into your lane, it's about to be a head-on collision, how are you going to feel? Well, if you anticipate pain, you know, you're going to feel fear, which is a good thing because it triggers you to act. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, the naive person, the simplistic person, you know, sees danger and doesn't do anything. But the wise person, you know, hides himself or runs from what is dangerous. So fear, you know, can't be useful. In fact, the Bible says, relate to wisdom, that the beginning of wisdom is fear, you know, fear of God in this case. So, and it's really not fear of God himself, it's the fear of the consequences, of the possible pain if you go against the creator of the universe, if you snub him, if you ignore him, if you disrespect him, you know, there's consequences. If you see flashing red lights behind you and you're driving a little too fast, what kind of feeling are you going to fear or feel? It's going to be fear. The cop's going to pull you over and you could get some big ticket or whatever. And so you're going to feel the fear. And what might keep you from speeding is the fear of that consequence happening again. So in a, like in a business situation, like say you're talking to someone and you are having a conversation for possibilities for them to join you in your business. One of the ways you can use fear in a constructive, positive way is to bring up the issue of consequences. Like you say, you're talking to, say I'm talking to Peter, you know, and I say, Peter, you know, if you stay in that job for the next 5 or 10 years, are things going to be any different than they are now? I mean, you're not happy with your job right now. So if you don't change anything, are you okay with being in the same place 10 years from now that you are now? So I'm getting Peter to look at the future consequences that are not pleasant because he doesn't like where he's at. And so that I trigger that fear that, well, if you don't change something, you're going to be stuck in the same place. And, you know, so that can help Peter, you know, maybe get out of his reservation or hesitation and say, yeah, I'm not happy with where I'm at. I've got to do something different. For things to change, I've got to change. You know, like Jim Rohn said so famously. So fear is important. It's an essential emotion, and it just has to be used, you know, properly. Now, on the other side, I like my acronym DUI, driving under the influence. We are all driving under the influence of certain emotions. For some people, you're driving through life under the emotion of anger and resentment and bitterness. Some people, it's depression. Some people, it's fear, anxiety. Probably the fear or anxiety, feeling stressed out, you know, that's all fear. That's probably the primary DUI that's running people's life. You know, Rick Warren wrote a famous book called The Purpose-Driven Life. And he makes the big point that we need to be, our DUI needs to be a noble purpose, you know, a cause, you know, like making a difference, creating value. But most people, unfortunately, because they were damaged when they were young and rejected or abused, maybe just emotionally, you know, that fear lingers on sometimes your whole life. The fear that I'm not good enough, the fear of getting hurt, the fear of not looking very smart, fear of looking stupid, fear of being rejected. And so even though fear itself is not bad, when it dominates you, then it can really ruin your life. It can paralyze you. It disempowers you. Not because fear itself is bad, but you're fearing the wrong thing. I mean, you should fear God, not man. The Bible says the fear of God leads to life, but fear of man is a snare. It's like a trap. But most people, including myself growing up, I had this huge fear of what people thought about me, the fear of rejection. And a lot of people never have much success with a home-based business because what's blocking them, what's interfering with having success is their fear of rejection, which really means fear of someone's judgment, potential judgment, which usually is really overrated. If someone's not interested, you know, so what? It's like if the waitress says, would you like some coffee? And you say, well, no, I'm fine. It's like you rejected her. You just rejected the offer. So if someone rejects your offer, your invitation, you know, they're not rejecting you, it's rejecting the message or the offer. But a lot of people take that personally, and they interpret that as rejection. And if they interpret rejection as painful, even if it was a rejection, I mean, once the guy said, no, I don't want the coffee, and I don't like you. I think you're just, you know, garbage, you know, and they really rejected you. Well, so what? Did you die? Are you disabled permanently? And that's just their opinion. So even when rejection does happen, it's not really damaging. It's only in our perception. But nevertheless, most people are basically, they have a DUI. They're driving through life under the influence of over-concern. I'll say it that way, same thing, fear, over-concern, anxiety, about what people think because they anticipate the pain that could come from their judgment, as if that really makes any real difference. I mean, everyone's judging everyone all the time anyway, to some extent, and so what? And that's just their opinion. But our programming is such is that we interpret that as painful, so we want to avoid that pain. We're thinking, at least subconsciously, I've had more than my fair share of pain in my life. I don't need any more pain. So why would I go into business where I have to talk to people? People are going to be saying no, and that's going to be painful. I don't want to deal with any more pain. The reality is, it's not painful, but it will be for them if that's how they view it. Because the fear is the natural, automatic, inevitable emotion when you anticipate pain, especially when you feel like you can't handle it. Now, if someone's coming after you with a knife, but you're an expert in martial arts, you may not feel fear at all. You say, hey, yeah, make my day. Go ahead, give me your best try. Because you know you can handle it. So there's no anticipation of pain. But for the average person, like, oh, no, I mean, you're full of pain. So anyway, my point is fear has its place. We can't avoid it, and it's not bad. We want to have fear of the right things. You know, like if you're lazy and don't work, you should have fear of the consequences. But yeah, I like to talk about health a lot because that's really important to me. I've had numerous family members die before their time, starting with my father, with a former wife, and my sister, and a lot of friends. And I think the reason, in fact, 90% of the people die before their time. And that's exactly what the Bible says, addresses in Ecclesiastes. King Solomon said, don't be a fool. Why should you die before your time? But most people do, of heart disease. 20-some thousand people a day die from heart disease, and 20,000-some a day die from cancer, and people die from diabetes. And why? Well, one way of looking at it, they don't have enough fear. They should have some healthy fear of the consequences of living an unhealthy lifestyle. And when you're too casual, you become a casualty. And then it doesn't end well. And so what's missing for a lot of people morally, they have no fear of God. So they think, well, I can get away with anything and there's no consequences. Well, that's a huge mistake. But same thing with your health. If you don't have some healthy fear of consequences, then you become careless. You become reckless. Yeah, it doesn't really matter what I eat. Everyone dies someday anyway. And then the guy gets cancer, or dies of a heart attack at age 37, like my next door neighbor's brother died at age 37 of a heart attack. You know, there's some kids who die, teenagers die of heart disease, different reasons. And so my point is we need a certain amount of fear, but fear the right thing. But most people have too much fear or anxiety about the wrong things. You know, that's sort of like the false evidence, but it's really just how they interpret things. So those are my thoughts there about fear. And let's go to the E. So the word I chose for E is enthusiasm. Now, enthusiasm is similar to fear in that it's another emotion. And for anything to happen in life, there has to be some emotion behind it. The strongest emotion that has the biggest impact is fear of loss, fear of pain. Enthusiasm, which literally from Latin means in God, is really excitement, it's happiness. And that's what we all want most. In fact, the Bible says God's not giving us a spirit or mindset of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So ultimately, we all want to be happy and not be dominated by fear, because fear, when it's inappropriate, disables you, it disempowers you. But enthusiasm and excitement and happiness empowers you. And in a sense, happiness or joy is the opposite of fear, because fear is an emotion you automatically experience when you anticipate pain. But happiness or excitement or enthusiasm is the emotion you experience when you anticipate gain. When you anticipate gain, something good is going to happen, you feel happy. When you anticipate pain, you're going to have fear or anxiety or stress. So in a sense, that's the opposite type of emotion, because you're looking at gain versus pain. So to have more of an impact in life and a happier life, you want to have a mindset that views the future that's going to be primarily good versus bad. And what happens, whether it's good or bad, that's highly subjective anyway, because what you might view as bad might end up being the best thing that ever happened to you, you know, blessing in disguise. But nevertheless, it's your mindset and your attitude that makes the difference. So when you think of the future, how do you feel? If you feel stressed and anxiety, then your DUI is fear. You're driving under the influence of fear or anxiety, or to use a softer word, over-concern. But if you view the future from the perspective that it's going to get better, you know, I'm going to win, I'm going to overcome. You know, I've had my bad luck, things haven't been fair, people betrayed me, I've had setbacks, but what doesn't kill me will make me stronger. And so you have optimism, which is expecting good things to happen, which generates happiness. And that's what we want, and it makes you more effective. Inappropriate fear, especially with what people think, makes you overcautious, makes you hold back. It makes you smaller. You sort of shrink, and your impact, your influence becomes less and less and less. And instead of having love, joy, and peace, you have stress and anxiety, and nobody wins. And you're not going to be taking chances because you don't want to get any more pain. So you hold back. You don't engage. You practice social distancing all the time, whether there's a virus or not, because you don't want to get hurt. And when you're not connecting with people because you're trying to protect yourself from getting hurt, supposedly, that's your thinking, it's like not getting enough oxygen. If you don't get something you need, that creates biochemical stress, not just emotional stress, because, you know, psychologically we need other people. We need to be connected. We need to be appreciated. We need to be valued. But we're going to miss out on all that if fear has too much place in our life. So instead of we need to recognize this and take a so how do we overcome this propensity to have fear, anxiety? It's all about how you look at the future. If you look at the future with the eyes of faith or optimism, that's the same thing, then you're going to feel confident and happy, and you'll take more chances and you'll do more because you're not letting your fear of pain or anticipation of pain and the fear that creates hold you back. So you have a bigger life, a better life. You make more money. You're happier. You have more peace. You have more strength, more wisdom, whereas fear is like putting yourself into prison. You know, inappropriate fear. I mean, fear itself isn't bad, but when it dominates you, you have that spirit of fear, that mindset, and all you're thinking about is pain and avoiding pain. It's like, you know, putting yourself in a prison. Now, who puts you there? Well, you put yourself there in the programming that you have. But the good news is today is a good day for a prison break, breaking out of that prison. And instead of having a DUI of fear and anxiety and stress, you can live at a higher level of that DUI, of you're driving under the influence of optimism and happiness, or enthusiasm in this case. We're talking about excitement or enthusiasm. Plus, if you want to influence people, people are more easily influenced in the direction you would like them to go or decisions to make when you are enthusiastic as opposed to too reserved. Now, you can't overdo anything. You know, it's like, you know, salt is important. If you don't get any salt, you get weak and you die 100% of the time. You have to have some salt. But if you have too much salt, that's not so good. Same thing with fear. You need a certain amount of fear in your life, but too much can ruin your life. Now, same thing with enthusiasm. If you're talking to someone and you're like overly enthusiastic, like over the top, that can backfire on you. And people say, oh, that guy is just, it's this hype. He must be exaggerating. You know, it's just a come on or something. And so you got to be careful that you're not overly enthusiastic, because sometimes that can work against you. But I would rather err on the side of being maybe too excited than too reserved, because we have more influence when we feel strongly about something in a positive way. When we're happy, it's sort of contagious. It's like fear or anger is contagious. If you're around a person who's angry or fearful, this tends to rub onto you. It's like affects you. It's like getting infected by a bacteria or a virus. So we want to be infecting people with positive emotions, positive energy, our enthusiasm and excitement. And you have more influence, you have more success, you end up making more money, you're helping more people. People are more likely to pay attention to you. And if you go to a gathering, a party, or church service, or wherever, who are you going to be attracted to? Someone who looks sort of depressed, or someone who looks angry, or someone who looks really fearful or anxious, or someone who's cheerful and smiling and happy. So you can choose to be that kind of person. So that's what I have to say about enthusiasm. The A, I chose the word asking. Asking is really underutilized, because partly out of our propensity to have fear of being wrong, we so quickly move to a mindset of that I'm right. So if I'm right, and I think I'm right, which tends to lead to arrogance and self-righteousness, which I used to have a huge problem with myself before I come and help me see that, that doesn't work too well in life. So the opposite of knowing the answer or believing you know the answer is being open and asking. If you want to connect with people and you want people to feel honored and appreciated, you want to be asking questions, not to just as a technique to manipulate, but because you care and you want to know. And so you can speak to them in a way that addresses their concerns and their needs and their pain and their problem. You don't want to just be assuming. A lot of people, they assume too much. I already know what they need. I already know what they want. Well, even if you're right, it's still better to ask and hear it from them, because once they've said that out loud, it reinforces it. Now it's out in the open, and now you can, now you know what to focus on to create more influence. Plus, asking is important for yourself. You ask yourself, is that the best I could do? Or how can I make my life better? Ask yourself, what do I need to repent of? Repent is changing your mind, turning away from something, like doing a U-turn. If you're going down the highway and going at a good speed, what good is that going to do if you end up going the wrong direction? So maybe you need to ask for directions, before you get going too far and too fast. So the Bible talks about asking. And, I think we need to ask God for help. We need to ask others for help. And we need to have mentors and coaches. We need to have friends. And we say, hey, Joe, what do you think? And get someone else's perspective, because nobody can think of everything. And we all have, tunnel vision to some extent, and limitations of how we see things. And some people are more creative, they have different backgrounds. And so if you're not asking questions very much, you're living too much in the world of assuming, and perhaps the world of arrogance, thinking you already have all the answers. And even if you do, it works better in connecting with people and loving people when you show interest and are interested by asking questions. So if you want to have more influence, you want to make a bigger difference, you need to ask questions of people, ask yourself questions. Like when you go to bed at night, ask yourself, you ask your brain, like your subconscious, would you please, think about what I, need to do to solve this particular problem? I need an answer. And so you're more likely to get an answer if you tell your subconscious, you know, to think about it. So ask yourself, you know, what's the best use of my time? You know, there's good, better, and best. The greatest enemy of the best is always the good. So I ask myself that a lot. What is the best use of my time right now? I could do this, this, or this. They're all good. None of those things are bad. But what is the best use? So you can't just assume or just sort of go on automatic. You want to ask. So that's that will enrich your life and enrich the lives of others. Okay, let's go to the last word here. And that's for the R word. I chose the word radiate. I talk about using reach. There's a lot of good words I could use, but I like radiate because it sort of goes along with some of the other things I've been talking about tonight. When we have fear or anxiety or stress, we're actually radiating that energy and we're sort of polluting or contaminating others, like spreading a virus or bacteria, but it's energetically. But see, we can, like when you're happy or enthusiastic, you're radiating a different kind of energy that pulls people up, that lifts them up. So not only are, so I think of radiating sort of like, well, light bulb, or better yet, like think about the sun or the stars. Now the moon doesn't radiate, it reflects. And there's a time to reflect things, but we don't want to just be a reflector, we want to be a radiator. We want to be radiating love, radiating joy and peace and compassion, you know, empathy. We want to be that, because when you are that, that's who you are, then you radiate that. And aren't you attracted to people that radiate happiness and confidence and optimism and, you know, those kind of things? Well, we can choose to be that way. In a sense, in one sense, you cannot choose to be that way by willpower, because we're stuck with our programming. Until you realize what your programming is, then you have to go in there under the surface and change the programming so you become more naturally, more automatically optimistic and positive and confident. So that does take work, but, you know, it's all doable. Part of that's repentance, you know, changing your mind and being around other people that are optimistic and happy and enthusiastic. But often we think so much, so in such a linear way, that things are just, we think about information and we think about what happens. But really, quantum physics has proven now that everything ultimately is energy. We are energy. In fact, every time your heart beats, did you know that it creates a burst of electromagnetic energy that they can measure up to 20 feet away? Now it goes out to infinity, just like the sun, the energy from the sun that goes forever, right? Well, your energy goes out forever too. You know, it diminishes the further away it goes. But, you know, so when you're around other people, they're in your energy field, you're in their energy field, and everyone's affecting everybody. So we want to be radiating positive energy, you know, love, joy, peace, because, first of all, that's really who you are anyway. That's being true to yourself. You're in a better position to make a difference and to help people. People be more open, more receptive, less guarded if you are radiating love, joy, and peace, radiating compassion. But we often don't think of the energy side of things, and that's really what makes the most difference. If you want someone to move or you want to move, it's not going to happen unless the right emotion is there. Sometimes it takes fear to get people to move. Sometimes it takes anger to get people to move. And anger has its place too. And it can also ruin your life if it goes too long and it's about the wrong things. But the most powerful emotion, really, well, in one sense, the most powerful is fear. But where we want to primarily live out of a place of happiness and joy, which only comes when you have that view of the future, as I mentioned earlier, the view of the future that good is going to happen. because happiness or joy, same thing, is the emotion that happens when you anticipate gain. So when you anticipate gain or good things are coming, then you can be radiating that positive emotion and you can be attracting more of what you want. But if you live more with fear or anxiety or stress or anger, you're actually going to be pushing people away energetically. Instead of attracting what you want, you actually be attracting like energy, be attracting negative stuff. And so I really like this whole concept of radiating, not just as a metaphor, but that's really what's happening. I mean, they have instruments now where they can measure your energy, your aura, and the energy that you're putting out, you're broadcasting, makes the difference. Not just for you, but for all the people. So if you want to have a better life, more love, joy, and peace, then you have to have these four elements. You have to have fear toward the right things. Let's start, God, a healthy respect and fear for God and fear for consequences. Not fear that paralyzes, but fear that gets you to take the right direction, better decisions. You need to be coming primarily from enthusiasm and excitement and optimism, faith, confidence. You want to be asking yourself and other people questions. If you want to be a person of influence and make more of a difference, and you want to be radiating the positive energy of love, joy, and peace, compassion and those kind of emotions. And if you do those four things, what does that all add up to? It adds up to a better life, a life that's where you feel more satisfied, more fulfilled, and of course happier and have more peace and you have more wisdom. And just everything works out better for you and for everybody else. Not to say there aren't setbacks and disappointments and, things you can't avoid, but we can make a better difference for ourselves and others, whether it's in business or in our marriage or relationships or spiritually, morally, socially, in every way, when we practice this success formula, F-E-A-R, as I described it. Okay, Peter, I think I've set it up for tonight. So you have any comments or questions? And I think that's all I have to say for now.
Great information. Of course, I won't be able to remember all of this in one sitting. So if you want to go back and you want to listen in, if you go to buildingfortunesradio.com/Ray-Gebauer, that's buildingfortunesradio.com/Ray-Gebauer, you'll be able to hear all this stuff all over again. Great information. This is so much better than the old cliche, tired and worn out and completely inaccurate, false evidence appearing.
Yeah.
So this is good stuff. I love it. Now, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how would they do it?
Well, pretty easy these days with these cell phones. Just call my number. And my number here in Vancouver, Washington, right next to Portland, Oregon, not Vancouver, Canada, is 714-488-9074. 714-488-9074. So what you heard resonates with you and it feels right and you want to learn more, maybe I can speak more into your life and give you some guidance and mentoring, and maybe we can even work together. We can have the conversation for possibilities of how, maybe I could enrich your life even further. And so I'm always looking for good people to work with. So feel free to give me a call. Call or text me, and we'll have that kind of conversation.
Excellent. So check him out. That's Ray Gebauer, 714-488-9074. That's 714-488-9074. We're going to catch him next week on Building Fortunes Radio. Ray, thanks for everything as usual, and we'll speak to you soon. Thanks, everyone.
You've been listening to Building Fortunes Radio on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the designated Building Fortunes Radio segment with Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website for our featured segments. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. At Building Fortunes Radio, we wish you the success you deserve and are willing to work for. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.